come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
I like your graphic here. I didn't notice the stone that's coming at those feet and the Achilles pain that person's going to have after that thing hits. But you guys have been studying end times, and from such a remarkable distance to when it's all going to happen, it's just so incredible that that Daniel was willing to write all that stuff down just as it was. And you've been talking a bit about the kingdom that's coming. Amen? Anybody excited about the kingdom that's coming, the perfect kingdom? The song's about that. I tell people that heaven looks a whole lot more appealing all the time because I have so many friends that have moved there, many of them recently too. This is kind of an image about what they might be seeing right now.
Find yourself one day in a city in the sky, and they're dancing in the streets, hands lifted high, and you hear a trumpet blast. It just might be the New Jerusalem. If you see the gathering of nations streaming through the gates, every tribe and generation and every precious race, and you know there's room for you, then you'll know this is the New Jerusalem. No more death and no more crying, pain and no more dying, no more fear and no more shame, all of that is gone in Jesus' name. So when you step across that threshold on that bright eternal day, and you feel the breath of heaven blowing all your cares away, then the Lion and the Lamb will welcome you into the New Jerusalem. And when you look up to the throne, you see the one that once was slain, and the book of life is open, and you hear him call your name, will fall upon your face to know your home in the New Jerusalem. Yes, we will fall upon our faces just to know we're home in New Jerusalem. No more war and no more sorrow, questions for tomorrow, and all our broken hearts are healed, 'cause everything is new. So when we find ourselves that day in that city in dancing in the streets just to know we're home in New Jerusalem.
Okay, are you ready for the scripture of the day? Oh, we don't have one. Sorry. Okay, so we are going to put our Daniel hats on, okay? And we're going to do that. Ready? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. But we have one more little thing. It's not a scripture, but it's been in front of you all this time when we did the study. Can we please put up, if we're able, the cover to our workbook? Let's look at that. What does it say? Oh, yeah, let's sing it, okay? Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Okay, now you got it. Let's do it. Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. One more time. We're going to do this, right? Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Good job.
Okay. Somebody who was in prayer with us, what was the scripture that came up? I give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I don't know about any of you guys, but in the last couple of days, including this morning, there has been a spirit of heaviness. There has been something that is just the constant barrage of spiritual warfare going on. I don't know if that's going on in anybody else's life, but I'm telling you, it's going on in my life. And there have been times in the last few days where I'm just going, God, what in the world did I do wrong? What am I doing wrong that I'm in the middle of all of this spiritual warfare? And then I was reminded that because I have committed myself to prayer, I have committed myself that I will pray, I will be a Daniel in the way of prayer, that since that time, I have been doing spiritual warfare like never before. And I realized that it got Daniel in the lion's den. So why would I be any different than to experience that? So I'm not saying I'm in the lion's den. I'm just saying that I want to experience what Daniel experienced in the lion's den. I want to bask in the glory of the Lord. So, moving right along, because I'm not crying today. I'm just telling you that right from the beginning, because I am rapture ready. I am rapture ready. How do I get rapture ready? I keep my eyes on the Lord. Because we've been studying about all the bad stuff going on. We've been studying about all the bad stuff to come. We've been having our eyes on this is bad, and that's bad, and the other thing is bad. And God says, keep your eyes on me. In the midst of it, keep your eyes on me so that you can bask in the glory of the Lord. You can stay in that place of glory for him. With the spiritual warfare that has been happening, I know that God wants to do something very special today. Very special today. I don't know what that is. I just know that the devil doesn't fight this hard when nothing's going on. So be prepared. Don't be taken aback when things are like, ah! And does anybody else know what that means? Mm-hmm. You've been there? You've been kind of like that? So when you're in that place, just remember, God is in control. Stay in prayer. Be a person of purpose. A person who decides that they are not going to do anything that would defame the word of God, that would put a mark on God's name so that someone else wouldn't follow after Jesus Christ because of the way that I live. We want to make sure that we are living lives that are Daniel lives. You see, I've got it in the end of my, and all of my notes probably are not going to be used today at all. I'm just saying that what we had in the book of Daniel were some days that Daniel lived through. A smidgen of days that Daniel lived through in his over 100 years of life. We have stories about these great things that happened during his lifetime. But he lived every day. Every day he prayed. Every day he walked with God. Every day he was a witness that brought him to high places, put him in positions so that God could use him where he was at. And God is putting us all in positions where he can use us for his glory. So that's what we've been learning in the book of Daniel. So anyway, Bill came to me and he said about sharing the song, The New Jerusalem. And it's so appropriate, isn't it? That's what we've been looking at. That day is coming when the New Jerusalem will come. And this, all the sorrows, all the worries, all the everythings will be over. But the greatest thing is that we will be looking into the face of our Savior. That's the most important thing going on. That's the most important thing that's going on in this study. That's the most important thing that's going on in our lives. That's the most important thing that we have to look at today. So here we are at the end of Daniel. And when we sang every week, Dare to be a Daniel, what were you thinking? Did you ever think, dare to be a Daniel? Did you ever really think about that phrase? That I would dare to be a Daniel. And looking into the life that he lived, I would dare to be a Daniel who would be a woman of purpose, determining in my heart that I will walk with the Lord and not do anything to bring him down. I would be a woman of prayer. And because I am a woman of purpose, I am a woman of prayer, God can use me in the area of prophecy. And all of the prophets that we've read about in the Bible are really weird. So I think I fit the picture to be a prophet. So I really want to be a Daniel. I want to dare to be a Daniel that will stand when no one else will stand. But we will all be standing together. Those of us who are walking with the Lord, we will not sit. We will not bow before any other one. And the enemy has no place in our lives, and we need to establish that today, right now. Write it down today. I made the decision that the devil does not have any power over me. He has nothing to do with me. I will not take his lies. I refuse to move into his direction. I refuse to listen to the things that he's telling me. When he tells me that I'm not good enough, when he tells me I can't do that for the Lord, when he tells me that I can't go in that place and say what he wants me to say, when God speaks to us, he gives us all we need to accomplish whatever he's called us to do. So with that, there we go. We're moving into the book of Daniel now. So it's been a fun book. It's been an interesting book. It's been an exciting book. It's been a scary book. It's been like a ride on a roller coaster book. We could go through every chapter in the book of Daniel, but you've already done that. You've already gone through it. You've already studied it. And the first chapter, we know that that was the place where Daniel established that he would not do anything that would defame the name of God. He made the decision that he would not eat any of the king's food. He would not be bought by food or by fancies. He wouldn't be given to that type of lifestyle. So we have that in chapter one. And in chapter two, we have the dream that Nebuchadnezzar came up with, and as Daniel spoke to him, and Daniel said that his God was the one who reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him, that is, with God. so that God knows what are the deep things in our lives. God reveals the deep things in our lives. Why? To embarrass us, to bring us to a place of just being shot down. No, God reveals the deep things in our lives, good or bad, so that his name gets glorified. That's what he reveals. He knows what's in the darkness. He knows what's in the darkness. He knows every, and again, you know, J. Vernon says that secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. So there is nothing hidden. There's nothing hidden. We serve a God that Daniel served that reveals things that were in the darkness, and light dwells with him. In chapter 3, the dream was, when in chapter 2, the dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Daniel had a confidence in God that only comes from a constant relationship with the living God. He had confidence because he had seen God come through time and time and time and time and time again. He had committed himself wholly and completely. In chapter 3, with all of the with the going into the fiery furnace, and the three men said, "We have no need to answer you in this matter, whether or not we will bow down. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand." They didn't say he will deliver us from the furnace. He said, he will deliver us from your hand. We are not under you. We are serving a living God. So he will deliver us from your hand. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. No matter what the consequences, I purposed in my heart back here when I gave my life to Christ, I purposed in my heart that I would not bow down to any other god. And that's where they found themselves, in the fiery furnace. And we know that when they were in that fiery furnace, what happened? They were under what we assume, it's the only way of explaining it, under some kind of a dome that even the smell of smoke couldn't get to them. It says that there was a fourth person in there. Who was that fourth person? They were in there with Jesus Christ. They were in there with the one who they served. They were in there so that when they came out, they didn't even smell of smoke, but they had the glory of the Lord on them. That's what happens when we refuse to live the ways of the world. In chapter 4, we went into all of the things that went on in chapter 4. And so, in order that the living may know, okay, this was the purpose of, here's the interpretation I have seen, and it's, I've seen your dream, and I've seen the interpretation, and this is what it is saying in verse 17 of chapter, whatever chapter we're in here for. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, that is when we explained all of that, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it to the lowest of men. So they're saying that God brings in kings, God removes kings, and so that he is in complete control. And then the interpretation of that dream that went in there. And Daniel would call Nebuchadnezzar to a call of repentance. In verse 27, there would be a call of repentance for Nebuchadnezzar. And down in verse 30, we see that pride kept him from that, and that he went into that very place. And that vision came to be, and he lived through it, and he lived as an animal. But he came to a place at the end where he came to a place of repentance in verse 34. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? And in verse 36, at that same time, his mind was restored to him. When we come to that place of repentance, we start thinking with a clearer mind. Does that mean, well, if I have a disease that causes me to not have a clear mind, that if I give my life to Christ, I'll all of a sudden have a clear mind? I will have a clear mind in the things concerning the Lord. It might not look that way to other people, but my mind will be wholly and completely set on the things of God. And so the Spirit of God is in chapter 5. We had all of that went on there, where there was the writing on the wall. He was found wanting, and he died that very night, Belshazzar. So that came to be just as God, Daniel, was called in to speak to that in chapter 6. All of the things that went on in chapter 6. Now, when they were told that they couldn't pray, no praying. Daniel goes right up to his room. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks. And he ended up, what happened? He ended up in the lion's den. What happens when I pray? I've been praying diligently. How come I'm in the lion's den? We've already talked about that. Because I'm protected there in the lion's den. And in chapter 7, when Dawn covered that so well and all of the things that were to come, in chapter 8, as it begins to be written in a different language, begins to be written in Hebrew, and when we went into chapter 8 and the things that went on in there, the things that would happen in the latter days, and that Daniel would be told that these things refer to the days in the future. And the thing in chapter 9 that I want to draw our attention to is the main thing. When I was writing down on my little bit of homework here, I was writing down what was my favorite book of Daniel. What was the favorite chapter? It is the first part of chapter 9. Because in chapter 9, at the very first part of it, up until, up to verse 20, it's talking about his prayer, what he prayed. And continually he said, we and me and mine and us, and he repented for all. He says in verse, then I set my face toward the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled. It goes down to, O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, because we have sinned against you. We have not obeyed your voice. Yes, all Israel has transgressed. We have sinned. And he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. And so the correction that needed to take place, that we might turn from our iniquities. May we be kept from the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he does though we have not obeyed his voice. It goes on to say that your holy mountain, because for our sins, for the iniquities of our fathers, are a reproach to all of those around us. Now, therefore, our God will deliver us. See our desolations. We do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. And then here's my favorite verse. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. O Lord, act. Verse 19 of chapter 9. O Lord, would you listen? Will you forgive? Will you hear? Will you forgive? Will you listen? And will you act? God is waiting to hear from us. We moved into chapter 10 and we found out that it took 21 days for the answer to prayer to come. And that answer to prayer was there at the very beginning. In verse 12, it says, the first day that you set your heart to understand and to what? Humble yourself. The first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come on that day. But it's taking me 21 days to get through the spiritual warfare that's going on. God hears our prayers. And he touched him and all of that prayer. And in chapter 11, that was at the appointed time, all the things that were going on. In chapter 12, verse 13. In chapter 12, verse 13. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. What happened at the end of days? What happened with all of that? What happened with Daniel? The book of Daniel would end in victory. And the promise in verse 13 is eternal life. You will have eternal life. You're going to sleep now, but you will rise. You will rise again. We talked last week, I think, about everything happening at the same time. Did I talk with you guys about that, or was it in the evening? Did I talk to you guys? So about everything happening at the same time, and I thought of the illustration of when you watch a parade. You're standing down here, and you see this thing going past you. I'm standing down here. I'm seeing this thing going past me. We're all watching the parade, but we're seeing different portions of the parade because we live in time and space. It's like the Lord is in a blimp who is seeing the whole parade all at the same time. We're all seeing the same parade at the same time. There is no time. If you can travel at light speed, there is no time. The speed of light, time stops. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So that's one of those things that some of the other gals and I have sat around and we've talked about, and if you want to talk about it another time, that's great. I hope you understand it now, that we dwell in that place of, as far as resurrections and all of these things happening, it's all happening right now in the sight of God. So he has it all under control. It's all fine. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret about it. And so in this book, we've had a few instances that happened. What else did you guys need? Write down the questions you still have about the book of Daniel. Did you write down some questions that you had about the book of Daniel? What are some of those questions? That much, huh? No more questions. Oh, it's so clear. Everything is clear. You know what? I have a question. I have a question about in chapter 12 about those numbers. I don't understand all of that. I do understand that I can know the coming of the Lord by the number of days if I'm there when the abomination of desolation sits down. I don't plan on being there. So I don't understand those numbers, and that's okay. I don't have to. There are going to be people that will read this that are going to have to know that. That they're going to have hope that the Lord Jesus or that their Messiah will come at that time. And so nobody else has any other questions, huh? Oh, yeah. The spiritual warfare in chapter 10. There are not a lot of places where that is shown elsewhere in the Bible, but it is shown to us clearly here that that's what's going on behind the scenes. And it doesn't need to be in other places, but it's directly dealing with the book of Daniel. Okay, it's just, it's informational and a recognition that that's what's going on all the time. Is that any clearer? Or, yeah, it's a little scary. Well, you know what, it's scary in knowing that the spiritual warfare is going on. And it's comforting to know that Michael is heading it up and taking care of it. So the warfare is going on our behalf. while we're waiting for the answer from the Lord, while we're waiting for that and we're continuing in prayer, we continue to ask him, all of this is going on in a place, our warfare is not carnal, but it is not flesh and blood, but it is, go ahead, somebody just spit it right out. It is spiritual in nature. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in the pulling down of strongholds, in principalities and powers, and those in high places, which is speaking about the realm, the next realm. Just knowing that on the day that you asked, the answer was on its way. On the day that you asked, the answer was on its way, and it had to go through some stuff to get to you. The center of the thing is that I've asked in prayer, I've received, but it wasn't at the time that I wanted to. I needed to wait. I needed to wait on the Lord. He continued to fast and wait on the Lord because he was determined to get an answer from the Lord. Angels are watching over us. They're filling in the places. So in the spiritual realm. So Michael had to deal with the prince of Persia, which is the demon of Persia, so to speak, to the dark angel, whatever you want to call them. But that spiritual warfare that's going on, there has to be dark and light together for a battle to be going on. So I do believe that we do have, that every country has an attacker, for lack of a better word. And knowing that our prayers are heard and our prayers are answered, and that spiritual warfare is going on over all of those countries. Okay, verse 2 in chapter 12, the understanding of those who were in the dust, that's that period of time that I was just talking about. We live in time and space, but in heaven, everything's happening at the same time. So we die here, we're instantly with the Lord. But in time and space, it looks like it's different. Does that make any sense? And I believe that that gap period that we're talking about, you're talking about the gap period in chapter 9, or are you talking about the gap period of the 30 days? But the gap period is, it's not clear to us what goes on during that time. So apparently, we don't need to know. That's the only thing that I can take from that. If I needed to know what was going on in that time for sure, positively, then God would tell me. But right now, we don't need to know that. Okay, last one. This really is the last one. So if I can explain it this way, because we live in time and space, and they're trying to explain something to me. They have to explain it in time and space for me to understand it. But the reality is, all of these things happen, but they happen right now in God, in that spiritual realm, at the speed of light. So, is that any clearer? We're going to have a new body. I certainly hope I have a new body, because this one is just, it's just not. But it's hard to explain, because when you try to describe, if you tried to describe a rainbow to a born blind person, how would you explain it? So it's that kind of thing. In explaining it in the best way that we can to understand, this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to happen, but it makes no sense to me that it happens all at one time when it says that this is going to happen, then that's going to happen, then that's going to happen, but it's all happening at one time. It's one of those things of faith. So, okay. Everything that I learned about God and his activity in my life, he hears us, his promises are sure, he responds to us, I can trust him completely. That's what I put down on mine. And what statements impacted, I took one of mine, of the teachers. is that they were not trusting in what God would do. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were ready to go into the fire, they were not trusting in what God would do, but in who God is. They were not trusting in what God would do, but they're trusting in who God is in chapter 3. And so we'd already talked about that they didn't smell like smoke. So, and Daniel basking in the glory of God all night. And so the book of Daniel is, we've had those few instances of Daniel's life, and we already talked about, I went to the end of my study, so at the beginning of it, that God used him in a way on every day, but we only have a record of those few times in his life that these great things happened. So it's the small things in, that no one else knows about that are the great things in God's eyes. There are no small things in God's eyes. It's the small things, the day-to-day living, making decisions to live for Christ moment by moment. Daniel was remembered for his commitment to God, his commitment to prayer, his commitment to purpose in his heart to not defile himself. God used him every day, but some of those days God used him to give us this written account of what God can do in and through a person who is wholly committed to him. So my charge to us is that we would be wholly and completely committed to him. Wholly and completely from the deepest depths of our heart. In 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. He is able to keep my life if I have committed it to him. He is able to keep my heart if I have committed to him. Have you committed your heart and life to Jesus? Because today is the day of salvation. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And with that, we're finished with the book of Daniel. And we have all this stuff that we're going to go over during the summer. I want to suggest a book for you to read over the summer. It's by Eugene Peterson, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. This was recommended by my daughter Shannon, and she is devouring this book, and it's really helping her. Of course, you're going to be in the Word of God the whole time, but you can also be in that part as well. And so what a joy it has been to be here with you ladies every week. What a pleasure it is. What a pleasure you guys are. I am blessed beyond measure. Well, don't. I'm just so thankful for you guys because I watch you walk through hard times and come out with the glory of God all over you. And I watch you work with each other. And I watch you work through hard times with one another. Has there been anybody during this time that maybe you had a disagreement with? No, I'm not saying nothing. Mm-mm. Not me. No, I didn't have any problem with anybody. But I'm not going to say it out loud. I've watched you grow. I've watched you mature. I've watched you trust God more and more and more. And John said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking with the Lord, walking in the truth. And you guys are, and I'm sorry, but I look at you as all my kids. And some, not very many, but some are older than me, but you're still my kids. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you his peace. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this book of Daniel that has caused us to grow, that has caused us to be challenged, Lord, that has caused us to put our trust more and more in you. Lord, you've taught us how to remain in your presence in the hard times. You've taught us, Lord, that there are hard times that are coming, and these things will come. You've shown us in the book of Daniel that everything that you've said in Daniel came to pass, except for that last 7 years. And if all of that other came to pass, all of the 7 years will come to pass as well. And you are coming back. You are coming back for us, Lord. You are coming back to this earth. You are. There is going to be a new Jerusalem. There is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There is going to be judgment that comes. And Lord, we want to be found walking with you. Lord, that we would, when you say, come up here, come on up. We know that that is any second, Lord. Our trust is in you. We are so blessed by you, Lord. With all of the things that go on in our lives, we are still so blessed to know you as our Lord and Savior. And what a privilege it is, Lord, to serve you. What a privilege it is to give ourselves wholly unto the Maker of the heavens and the earth. We pray for our country, Lord. We pray for our state. Oh God, forgive us. We have a governor that's running on platform of, he's going to be the one to make it easy for you to kill your children. God, may we, like Daniel, weep and mourn over these things and seek you. I pray, Lord, for our governor to have his eyes opened in the name of Jesus, that he would be brought to a place of recognizing who you are and that he ain't all that. That you would bring him down in whatever way needs to be, Lord. And any who are buying into this lie that will bring judgment, Father, we pray for your mercy. In judgment, remember mercy. And we thank you, Lord. Make us wise. Keep us in the palm of your hand, Lord. Remind us every moment that we're right where we're supposed to be, in the center of your will. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you as we get into our small groups and talk about these questions and about the good things and the bad things and all the things, Lord. I pray, Father, that these ladies would just be so blessed in their time together. And we look forward to next week when we get to eat lots of food together and have lots of fun. So we bless you, Lord. We give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.